The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
We are going to America with the chance to be history makers.
Steve Clark, what a hero.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army. In downtown Boston. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. One day to go until Scotland are back in World Cup action against Morocco. Motherwell appoint Alfred Johansson as their new manager. That's after Derek McInnes was unveiled as Rangers' new boss last night. And the Premiership fixtures for the new season are released, with Celtic not happy at their Monday night opener. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are John Spencer and Gordon DL.
Never a dull moment in Scottish football. Obviously the domestic situation today, the fixtures are out, Celtic not happy, Motherwell with a new manager, 35 years of age, absolutely brilliant. There'll be signings coming in, but let's be honest, Andrew, the focus must be on tomorrow night, Scotland v Morocco. We're already getting excited for a build-up.
That's it. No doubt there will be calls and interest on some of the domestic matters doing the rounds over the last couple of days, John. But when it's one day to go until Scotland are back in World Cup action, a chance to potentially get a point or 3 points that will see us get through to the knockout stages for the first time ever, I think everyone's going to be in full World Cup mode.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be a very, very tough game. Watch Brazil, Morocco playing in the first game. And I tell you what, two really, really difficult games coming up. But you know what? If the boys, Steve mentioned, relentless, we're going to have to put ourselves through a wee bit of pain in the next two games coming up, but certainly looking forward to them as a Scotland fan.
And this is the final chance that people will be able to phone in and get their team across to us, work out exactly what they would do if they were Steve Clark. I think Steve Clark has been speaking in the last hour or so. We'll hear from him. We'll go live to Boston and speak to Gabriel Antoniazzi, who was at the press conference too. But it'll be interesting to see what Steve Clark does. There's been plenty of debate, not just about personnel, but about shape going into this game.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Obviously, he went into the first game very attack-minded because we were the favourites to go and win it, and we did win it. I'd have liked to see them got more goals. I'm starting to be greedy. But it was all about getting 3 points. We're top of the group. Morocco's a different kettle of fish. As John quite rightly said there, I think we all were very impressed with them against the Brazilian team. I thought they were excellent on the front foot. They'll be a handful tomorrow night, and it will be the case of Steve Clark will sit down and over the last few days with his staff, analyse everything. Obviously, I don't think we'll go with the attacking team that we went. Will we change from a back four to a back three? That's a big question for me.
You expecting big changes or maybe just tweaks here and there?
No, I agree with Gordon. I think that he's going to have to flood the midfield with bodies, or he's going to have to flood the back line with bodies, either a five. For me, as I said to you, I think if you play high against Morocco, and that's what Brazil did, Brazil obviously being Brazil, having that confidence about their group and, you know, being one of the best teams in the world, they played open, expansive football. And the moment they turned the ball over, Morocco, it was like gangbusters. They went on the break. And I tell you what, they've got pace, electrifying pace and quality all around the pitch.
0141 951 1025. First of all, interested to hear your thoughts on that Scotland game. How do you rate our chances against Morocco? Can we get the result that would potentially see us through to the knockout stages for the first time ever of a major tournament? What should Steve Clark do with his team? Do you want to see changes? Should he stick with that 4-4-2? Does he need to change formation? Does he need to change personnel? You can let us know. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're over in Boston and you want to give us a shout from over there. We'd be delighted to hear from you. Maybe you're planning on heading out to Miami and you want to chat to us about that. It is the same number, and domestic matters as well, because some big ones over the last 24 hours. Today, Motherwell appointing their new manager, 35-year-old Alfred Johansson. Not sure too many people will know a lot about him in Scottish football. He was a former Rosenborg manager. Can he live up to what Jens Bertolaskou did last season? You can tell us, Motherwell supporters and Rangers fans. Of course, Derek McInnes was appointed last night. It was around 7:30, so we got around half an hour of calls after it was confirmed. I'm sure you Rangers fans have many more thoughts on that and the Premiership fixtures. There are always the odd things that get thrown up when the fixture list comes out. Normally, I think there's a bigger deal made of it, but just because of other stories, the fact that there's a, you know, Scotland at a World Cup, that maybe it's been a sort of smaller story, but Celtic not happy with the fact that they're playing a game on a Monday night. Can you see why they're annoyed? They're hoping that Flag Day should be, whether it's, you know, Saturday, Sunday.
I certainly can. I think that what they're doing is they're looking at situations, especially for their supporters. We know that a lot of their supporters come from all over. And a Monday night causes a bit of problem for them. They're the champions. It is a big, big day. And I think that if I was Celtic, I'd be a bit annoyed about a Monday night 8 o'clock. But obviously
7:30.
I would be a bit annoyed with that. But I can totally understand. Obviously, the police are taking into consideration other things that are going on in the city.
I think Commonwealth Games, you know, the Velodrome is across the road. There are cycling events on that weekend. I think Calvin Harris playing that weekend. So it sort of means that policing is harder to come by.
Yeah, and that's all got to be taken into consideration. But as I say, in a football sense, I would be a little bit disappointed if it was Celtic.
As a former Motherwell and Rangers man, John, new managers over the past 24 hours for both clubs. What do you make of the two appointments? One you'll know a lot more about than the other.
Obviously, don't know much about the Johansson guy coming in at Motherwell, but they've obviously followed in the same kind of tracks as the previous manager, young, fresh, foreign, probably looking to implement the same style of football going forward that Jens brought in last year. On the other hand, Derek, been in the game, 17, 18 years as a player and a manager here in the Scottish Premier League. So it's going to be different contrasts, obviously, for the two profiles, but the two teams will obviously be looking to start the season the way that, well, Rangers will not be looking to start the season the way they finished, but certainly Motherwell will be.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. And if you were thinking about calling in, you're not sure, well, this might convince you to, because tomorrow Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to be on air from 10 o'clock live from Scotland's Fan Zone at the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow. We'll be back there on Wednesday the 24th of June for the Brazil game as well. So how would you like to be there? Every night this week we're giving away a pair of tickets for the Fan Zone on the Wednesday, and all you have to do is call in the show. If you get on air, you make a point, you're entered into the draw to win a pair of tickets. It opens at 6 o'clock. There are former pros, the likes of Alan Hutton, Michael Stewart, are going to be on stage alongside comedians Chris Forbes, who was on the show last night, and Mark Nelson. Plus your Clyde One Super Scoreboard team are going to be there as well. If that's not enough, we'll chuck in £50 for you to get some food and drink. You can either use that to celebrate or drown your sorrows, but we're hoping it's going to be big celebrations across the two nights. It's over 18s only, and all the T's and C's are on our website, so give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We had the show from 1 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the morning for the last Scotland game. We're doing it again, Gordon. Slightly more reasonable time, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., but you're looking forward to the coverage tomorrow night?
Yeah, I am. I've got to say, when I seen the times, I sort of dreaded it, especially last weekend. It was absolutely brilliant because the atmosphere carries you. You know what I mean? You don't look at the time, just passes by. You don't look at the time. And then all of a sudden you walk out, you're finished, you're off the programme, and you walk out and it's daylight. Never been known for me, working at dark and then finishing at daylight. But it's excitement. Everybody's there. Everybody's joining in. The atmosphere in the place was brilliant. It'll be the same tomorrow night at Brayhead. And I'm certainly looking forward to it. And I think the most important thing is, I think it'll be a very, very good game of football.
You think the same? You think it's going to be an entertaining game regardless of the result?
I'm not sure that they're going to come out and get after the ball, Andrew. I'm not trying to sound negative here, but I think Steve's going to have to be very, very pragmatic in his approach to the game tomorrow. Different team from Haiti to Morocco. Different quality levels, different pace levels. It's going to be a wonderful event. Seeing the fans there last week was absolutely incredible. You see it all over social media. They've done the country proud. The boys did the country proud on the pitch. As I say, I think it's just going to be a really, really tough game tomorrow night. We're going to have to suffer for 90 plus minutes, and hopefully we can get that point that carries us through to the knockout stages.
Well, let's go live to Boston, shall we? Because Steve Clark has been speaking not too long ago about the game tomorrow. He's been giving his thoughts, and Gabriel Antoniazzi is in Boston and he was there, so he can give us the latest from the Scotland camp.
Yes, Andrew, good afternoon from Foxford, and you can see this magnificent stadium behind me. It's empty now. Just think back to last week, it was full of that coral Scotland strip. It's going to be the blue Scotland strip tomorrow, but it promises to be a fantastic occasion. As you said, I've just heard from Steve Clark and Captain Andy Robertson ahead of that game. Some really interesting stuff from Clark. He talked up the North African opposition, said they're world class, undoubtedly one of the best teams in the world. He accepted that Scotland are going to have less of the ball. Morocco will have more possession. And he also said that he feels this Morocco team are better than when they reached the semi-finals of the World Cup in Qatar 4 years ago. And he expects them to be aiming for that minimum this time round here in North America. Then Clark said something very important. In the Scottish psyche, we sometimes revel more, succeed more when we are underdogs, and we're certainly underdogs tomorrow. That is the message from Steve Clark. I asked him how the atmosphere has been between game one and two and how it is different to the previous two Euros when Scotland were beaten in their opening game. And he said, of course, it's much more positive. Everything is in a positive manner. They're coming back here to a stadium where they've already won a game at this World Cup. And he said that training this morning had a serious spark and it was electric. That's what he said, electric on the training ground this morning. I went up and saw the first 15 minutes of that. All 26 players available. Scott McKenna seems to have recovered from that calf issue, so he will be available for selection. Be interesting to see, though, if Clark does stick with that four at the back formation. We think he would drop one of the strikers and perhaps go to a 4-2-3-1. Or will it be a five at the back? Could Scott McKenna or Kieran Tierney come in to add an extra defender? We won't find out until tomorrow, Andrew. We spoke to Andy Robertson as well, as I did say. He was singing the praises of the Tartan Army, best fans in the world, and was praising the way that the locals here in Boston have taken to them. Just what you might notice behind me is that there's grey clouds above. It's actually dropped in temperature quite a bit. We're about 25, 26 degrees here down in Foxborough. We had some rain showers for the first time in a week earlier, and it's very, very windy. So much so that the fan zone in Boston has been cancelled for today. Maybe a bit overdramatic on the American part, but it's been cancelled. And we're expecting the weather to stay the same tomorrow, which could be crucial for our team, given that it's a 6 o'clock kickoff, so 3 hours earlier than the Haiti game. But it will be a lot cooler than that match last weekend, Andrew.
What about cancelling the fan zone because it's a bit cloudy? That's rubbish. I've sat in beer gardens in Scotland where my pint has been filling up with rain faster than I can drink it. Scotland fans would have been right in there.
Yeah. Listen, it's just the way the Americans are, isn't it? You watch the golf, and the minute you see the clouds getting a bit dark, everybody's off the golf course, safety, everything. But let me say, I think the Tartan Army will still find a way to enjoy their afternoon and evening. Of that, there's no doubt. They've been, as John said, they've been absolutely a credit to this country. They've been brilliant. Everybody's talking about them, how good they are. And hopefully that will continue tomorrow night. And once again, I think we will all be sitting there probably in Brayhead or wherever guys are watching it. And I think that national anthem in that stadium just gives you the greatest lift you've ever had in your life. Imagine standing there as a player, you know, listening to those supporters giving absolutely everything for a team. So hopefully we can get a good performance tomorrow night. It will be difficult. But I do agree with Steve Clark. See, when we're underdogs, when we're written off, we produce something from somewhere. And we've got quality players. Let's not be kidded here. We've got quality players. He needs to get the team. He needs to get the formation right. That's his job. Wonder what he'll do.
Let's go to the phones. Michael is in Houston. Michael, I'm assuming that's Houston in Scotland rather than Texas.
Yeah, as I wish I was in Texas.
I was just making sure. You never know where these Scotland fans are phoning in from at the moment. It's been all over the world, all over America. But Michael, how are you feeling heading into the game tomorrow? Confident? Are you feeling apprehensive?
Do you know, I'm somewhere in between it. I was just talking to the producer there about how important this has been for me and all my pals. Like, I'm only 23, so this is the first I've seen anything even remotely like this. and it makes me very proud to be Scottish and to have something to support at this World Cup. And there's like people that have never really been into football, some of my pals that are so into it have watched more games than me. So I'm really hoping that we get a couple of points, and I really think 1 point will do us and put us through.
It does make you feel very patriotic, doesn't it, when you go on social media, you see all the videos of the Scotland fans, you see what the national anthem was like before the Haiti game, what it's going to be like against Morocco, the fact that the players are out there, you know, doing everything to make sure they're getting the 3 points. It sort of, as Michael says, he's got friends that aren't even really football fans or really into the national side that are now, you know, engrossed in this.
I think that just what Michael says there, it's amazing how he said friends that are not even into football. And that's amazing. When you think of the platform that these players have got and the positive impact and negative impact that they can make on people's lives. And so to hear that's something that the players should actually hear in camp. It'd be great if Steve Clark could play that little clip of what that boy just says about the team and how proud he is of the nation. And then, as you said, the social media stuff. I've got friends that live in Boston and have been Boston Red Sox fans their whole lives, New England Patriot fans their whole lives, and they said they have never experienced that sort of atmosphere in the area, in the city, and in that stadium. And remember, that's the team that's won 6 or 7 Super Bowls. So that goes to show you the impact that this Scotland team and that team off the pitch, the 12th man, is gave to the nation.
Michael, what are you hoping that good feeling generally around the national team can do for the squad tomorrow going into the game?
Well, see, even just like seeing the photos and videos from it, honestly, I really wished that my Make Me a Winner came through so that I could go as well. So I don't have to mortgage a house or anything like that. But I think we've seen how much of an impact it makes. Even when we qualified against Denmark, it was making some amount of noise. You could hear it from all across the country, pretty much. So I think having such a big support there and around even just the city, it must make such an impact to the players. So, yeah.
Gabs was saying when he was speaking to us that, you know, Andy Robertson was singing the praises of the Tartan Army, and we talk about the fact that we go on social media and we see all those videos, but the players in camp that are sitting there in Charlotte, they'll have their downtime where they'll be scrolling through their phones. They'll all have that on their algorithm as well, and that must just give them, not that they need any extra motivation because they're playing for Scotland at a World Cup, but even if it gives them an extra 1-2% thinking, look what they're managing to do for the nation, and it must just feel so special for them.
100%. I'm not that kind of person, but over the last few days I've been sitting for ages just looking at the scenes over there and thinking, you know, I wished I'd been a big part of that. You're right, players will be sitting around about the hotel, they'll be talking about it, they'll be looking at it, but when they get to that stadium and they walk out and that crowd's there and the noise and the national anthem, that's when they know what it's all about. You know, to stand there and experience that, these guys, it must be incredible. That would be the highlight of my career, never mind the playing. Standing there listening to the Scottish fans singing the national anthem, and you hear the noise of there's no roof there, are they? But if there was a roof there, it would take the roof off, as they say. They've been absolutely brilliant. And hopefully, John's quite right in what he says. I'm not a big believer in this, but I do now. They are the 12 man. They can take you, you know, when you're tired. They can give you that lift, that little bit of extra spring or whatever you need, a bit of energy just to get you over the line. They are certainly doing their job. It's up to the players now. Steve Clark, go and do your job.
Michael, is there anyone specific that you think has to come in and play tomorrow? Is it the same team? What are you looking for team-wise?
I think we were missing Christie, to be honest. I think he's a cracking player, and especially when it comes to the friendlies that we were playing on the run-up, I thought he made such an impact. So I'd like to see him maybe sacrifice one of the strikers, and I really like the idea of playing two up top and being dead direct and stuff. But Morocco, I mean, we all watched the Brazil game. That was unbelievable. The first half, I couldn't believe what they were up against. So I think we'll probably take one of the strikers down, and I'd really like to see Christian.
Thank you to Michael. 0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Steve Clark in a bit, but we want to hear from you first.
The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and John Spencer here with me, Andrew McLean. We are building up to tomorrow's huge match, Scotland against Morocco in the World Cup. It is the second group match. So any thoughts on that? Are you feeling confident? Are you not feeling confident? Who should Steve Clarke start? Who should he drop? What formation should he play? And just how are you feeling? Have you got any travel plans for America? Are you there already? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Lots of other stories doing the rounds domestically. Motherwell have a new manager in Alfred Johansson, so interested to hear from you Motherwell fans. We got the announcement last night at 7:30 that Derek McInnes is officially the new Rangers manager, so I'm sure there are some more thoughts to come on that. The Premiership fixtures, or the fixtures for all the SPFL teams, came out today. The most interesting point really is the fact that all 6 games in the opening weekend, I think every single one is live on Sky, so they're all staggered, but Celtic not happy that their flag day is a Monday night at home to Dundee. They've released a statement, so maybe you've got an opinion on that. You can give us a call, but let's go back to the phones about Scotland. Let's speak to Callum in Aberdeen. Callum, how are you?
Not bad, thank you.
How are you feeling going into this game tomorrow? Are you confident?
Yes, I am. I think we can get the bare minimum of point. I think that I don't know what kind of formation, but I think he's going to. I think we all know that he's going to swap out Granit Doak for Christie, and there's probably going to be maybe a change at the back, but possibly. I think with a 3 back, I think it's a bit risky. I think he might use 5 in midfield and then use it like to switch it back, so you could pull the 2 guys out and kind of like use it as defence, but.
I suppose if Ben Garrand-Doak is coming out and Ryan Christie's going in, would there still need to be a striker that comes out to help the balance of the team, would you think?
Yeah, I don't think that Christie will go in for Garrand-Doak. I think Christie will go in to play off the striker.
You'll go in
striker.
For either Shea Adams or Lauren Shankland.
Yeah. Or he could mix it up and bring Dykes on. You know, depends what style of football he's got to play. He's looked at Morocco, he knows Morocco, and John quite rightly says they're very quick, very direct, everything about them. I think we all agree they're excellent. I think that a little bit of luck for Morocco, they'll go deep into the tournament, a semi-final, the last tournament I think they got to. So they're no mugs, they're a good side, and we know that, and Steve Clarke knows that. You can't call Scotland in these big games. We've seen it, we've been here before. When you get into these games and you think, oh, we're up against it, look at this team, look at the way they play, look at the superstars they've got. We've got good players that play at a very, very high level. If Steve Clarke can get our formation right tomorrow against the Moroccans, we've got players that can score goals, we've got players that can defend, and we've got a terrific midfield. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult, let's not be kidded. But
I think, Gordon, to be honest with you, sorry to interrupt you, I think we've got to drop deep. As soon as we lose the ball, drop into a compact shape. Watching their team over the last 6 or 7 games through the African Cup of Nations, they don't seem to have a number 9. So for me personally, if you're... What you want to do with players that have got pace to hit you on the counter-attack is drop, so they've got no space to run into. And I could see us dropping early and forcing them into the wide areas, because they don't have, on the face of it, an actual number 9 that looks going to attack the ball in the middle of the box and get headers off. So for me, I would be forcing them wide, forcing them to cross balls into the box, because I think those 3 centre-halves, you know, the big bodies that McKenna's and guys like that, Hanley...
So you think you'll go with 3?
I think you've got to. I think you have
to. I think that's the best way to combat what Morocco's strengths, mm-hmm. essentially, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I would, as I said to you, I would force them wide, force them to cross the ball into the box, and then when they come back inside, you've obviously got the three central guys that can shift across and kill space. But it's going to be a hell of a game for us. We're going to have to defend for our lives. But you know what? There's a big, big prize at the end of that 90 minutes, and that could be that 1 point for us that gets us through.
If it is to be a back three, is that just as simple as Kieran Tierney slots in as a left centre-back? Early on in Steve Clarke's reign, or for most of Steve Clarke's reign, that's where he's found a lot of success, having that link up down the left of the left centre back of Kieran Tierney and a left wing back of Andy Robertson.
Yeah, it's a decision between McKenna probably and Tierney. I think McKenna gives you good pace, strong, good left sided player. I think Tierney's better coming out with the ball than McKenna. I don't think McKenna's a great ball carrier. I think he gets to a certain situation in the pitch, certain area, and he decides, you know, I'll just try and make it very, very simple. I think Tierney's a little bit better, because I know what John's saying, but as much as we will have to defend a lot tomorrow, we need an attack. We need a threat. And I think we've got a threat. It depends who the centre-forward is. He might go away. Me personally, I think he'll go with Adams. I don't think Shanklin will play. He'll go with Adams or Dykes, and they'll try and stick, get the ball up there and stick. And Christie, we know the energy, we know everything about him. He's a terrific player. McTominay as well, McGinn's there. So as much as, I think we're going to be backs to the wall a little bit tomorrow, we've got to have a threat going forward, because we have got the players that can do it.
Who leads the line for you, Callum?
I personally think probably Lyndon Dykes. Because I think his size, he's always impressed me by the way his movement is. And when you've seen the goal against like Greece at Hampden, it's just typical. He goes and chases a lost cause.
Yeah, I mean, not a prolific goal scorer, Lyndon Dykes, but there is a lot that he's offered in his time in Scotland that you could see being an asset against Morocco. Whether you think he'll start or not, if he was to start, you know, he'll certainly try and bully defenders. He's capable of holding the ball up. If you want to go direct, he'll win headers.
I think that's what we have to do. We have to, if we're dropping deep, we're going to have to release pressure. And whoever plays in that nine position is going to have to be very, very good with their back to goal and try and hold the ball up, you know, and link us up for runners. That's why I was surprised that you may be saying Christie plays as maybe the advanced one. How did you think McTominay did with playing that deeper one? I know he had the shot, hit the post earlier on in the game, but I felt that I didn't feel that was quite his best position in the Scottish Scottish formation, you know?
Yeah, but I just think that this is a completely different ball game tomorrow. As I say, we've dipped our toe into the World Cup. We know what now to expect. We know that we're up against real opposition. I totally agree with Callum a little bit. I will not be surprised if Dykes comes out as the main striker tomorrow night.
Callum, you're in Aberdeen now, but am I right in saying you've got plans to go over?
Yes, I do. I'm heading to Miami on Monday.
Brilliant. How much are you looking forward to that?
Massively. I've also got a ticket to the game as well.
Amazing.
So to say that at the moment I'm nearly bouncing off the walls is an understatement. And I just can't wait to go and be involved in the World Cup. It'll like for a lot of people, it's my first ever. And it's, you know, our first time attending a World Cup. So it's absolutely massive for me.
You must be, you know, flicking through social media, seeing all those videos in Boston and just be itching to get on that plane as quickly as possible.
Well, everybody at work has been speaking about it, and have you seen it? You know, but I can barely keep up with all the videos, and I've seen so many people, you know, who I know personally, who are over there making memories, and I said, you know, I'm going to get the chance to go and do it all myself, and hopefully see one of the best games of football that you can see in person, especially against Brazil, because even though Brazil, they keep saying they're not as good as they were, let's not forget what happened when we played Germany and everybody said, oh, you know, they wrote them off. But, you know, Brazil are a different gravy.
Who are you heading over with, Cal?
I'm just heading myself.
Brilliant. That's the thing. It doesn't matter. You can go over yourself and there's just going to be, instantly get thousands of friends that are going to be over there.
Yeah, you just mingle, don't you? But I'll tell you what, you're sitting there, You're just wishing the weekend. Callum would be wishing the weekend away, ain't he? Monday morning, suitcase or whatever you're taking, onto that plane, and you're going to Miami, and you've got a ticket in your back pocket to see Scotland and Brazil. Callum, it doesn't get any better.
Make sure you take your factor 40 with you, Callum, coming from Aberdeen, mate.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Gordon's exactly right. It doesn't get much better. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have had the finances to go. And it's, you know, the most exciting time of their life. You know, everyone I speak to says, you know, it's a once in a lifetime, because it's been 28, well, I'm 48, and it's been 28 long years since Scotland were last in the World Cup, as we all know. But, you know, it's incredible. It's going to be such an experience.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Callum. Enjoy your trip over to Miami. Let's speak to David in Barrhead up next. David, are you confident? How are you feeling going into this game tomorrow?
Actually, I'm quite confident. I think if you look at the results we've had over the last few years when we've been the complete underdog, we weren't supposed to get through against Norway. There was a time we played Spain. Oh, we were going to get hammered, and we pulled out all the stops and beat them. Yes, Morocco and Brazil are quality teams, but we shouldn't run ourselves down. We've got there. It's in our own hands. If we can pull off a magic trick, there's no reason why we can't, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a different mindset going into this game. It's a different pressure than going into the first game, and it's just about how, you know, seeing how the players handle it. As David said, you know, we've had some big results. We know this squad are capable of it. It's just about how they handle that pressure and
We're in a different situation, right? We all went to the Euros, and the first game we watched Germany hammer Scotland. And it doesn't matter if you're thinking, well, we're underdogs, Germany were the hosts, we're going to lose that. You go away there for a few days or whatever it is to the next game, the spirits are a wee bit low. There's no doubt about that. The spirits are a wee bit low. Look at the difference just now. Yes, we had to win, and Steve Clark was right, must win game. We got there. I think there's an adrenaline within the camp and the players and everything, and the happiness that they got the 3 points, top of the table, confident. I think we'll get into this game tomorrow night, and I keep saying it. See, if you look on paper, the players we've got, where they've played, the things that they've won, and the experience they've got, I don't think we fear anybody. Okay, I totally agree. Morocco are a real good team. But on the night, we are capable of getting a result.
It's important getting that win on the first match day for points. Everyone knows that. But for the feeling going into the next game, Steve Clark, as Gabriel told us, Steve Clark saying that the feeling in training today was electric. If Scotland hadn't have got the result that we wanted in the first game, I'm not sure that he would have been describing training as electric, but it means that the players are probably in the best mental shape they could possibly be going into this game.
The pressure's not on us. The pressure's on Morocco. The pressure's on Brazil, because they too tied the first game. If you look at Morocco are probably going to be saying to themselves, Brazil are going to beat Haiti. We need to beat Scotland. So for us, I think our best performances have been when we've been under pressure, when we sit deep, and when we roll our sleeves up and say, go on then, break us down, because I think that's what Clark is going to do tomorrow. We don't need to go out and score in the first 5-10 minutes. We don't need to go out and try and win the game. They need to come to us and win the game. So for us, then can we bypass their, you know, flooded areas? They're going to flood the top end of the pitch. Can we play through? Can we play above them and beyond them and get up the pitch and get a set piece and get a goal? And it's not been, you know, negative. It's been pragmatic. We just need to get a point to get through. And Morocco need to win the game, so we've got no pressure. We can go and play.
David, who's going to be the main man tomorrow? Who's going to step up and make the difference?
I don't know about step up and make a difference. I think McTominay's just got this habit of pulling a bit of magic trick out. You've got McGinn, who again pulled it out in the last game to get a result. But we've got players who, if they're given that wee chance, like the two I've just mentioned, and then whether you play Adams or Shankland or Lyndon Dykes, if these guys get a chance to prove that they can score goals, and I think we will get chances. It's just if we, the few that we do get, if we can take one or two of them and just shut up the Algerian players and just say, you know what, we're here for a battle. It's not a game of classy football. It's going to be a battle from start to finish, and we're up for the battle. Let's see, are you?
Well, thank you to David. 01419511025. More of your calls to come. Get them in while I tell you this.
Goal! Just absolutely magnificent.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. Well, you heard a caller earlier on say that he's hoping that Make Me a Winner comes in, because he'll be straight on a plane to Miami. Maybe that's what you would do with the money, because you could end the day with £750,000 tomorrow. Last week's winner, Dawn, recommends giving it a go.
Definitely do it, because you never know, it can change your life. It's changed my life as well. And every cloud's a silver lining. Go for it. Nothing to lose.
Every Friday we have a guaranteed winner. There's no draws or extra time to worry about. Get your entry in for the chance to win a truly life-changing amount of cash before the weekend. To enter, text YES to 61025, text or 250, plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. All the rules for the network competition are there too. Or you can call us on 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Just answer your phone and £750,000 will be yours, paid into your bank account in time for the weekend. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Not long to go until Scotland are back in World Cup action tomorrow night, 11 o'clock against Morocco. We've been getting your thoughts on Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Gordon DL and John Spencer. So keep them coming, 0141 951 1025. We will look at domestic matters a bit later on. New managers at Rangers and Motherwell. Premiership fixtures coming out today as well that have caused a little bit of drama. So maybe you've got some thoughts on that. You can give us a call. There is a World Cup game on the go live at the moment. It's Czechia 1, South Africa 1. South Africa have just scored a penalty with 5 minutes to go. So looks as if it's probably going to be a draw in this game, barring any late drama. We'll see. Sets it up nicely for the last 5 minutes anyway.
It certainly does. I was fortunate or unfortunate to wake up about 2 o'clock in the morning and turn the telly on and watch the Ghana game. The last 10 minutes went to 105 minutes or something. It was absolutely brilliant, dynamite. The amount of draws in the tournament so far has been incredible, hasn't it? And let me say that watching these games, there's no easy games, apart from obviously Germany got a fantastic result. But there's no easy games. You've got to earn your 3 points. You've got to earn your victory. And obviously Switzerland the other night there, they had so much possession, scored a goal. They had so many shots at goal and end up losing a goal late on. So it's incredible, this World Cup. There's a lot of surprises along the way here, I think. I really do. I think the old days of just looking at teams and saying, oh, we'll run over the top of them because of their name, right? That's gone. Teams now that, you know, you look at teams from Africa and things like that, they've got top quality players in their team.
Yeah, but they're so well coached as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Right? You know,
so
the
well
coaches
drilled, they're fit as well. You know.
So there's a lot of surprises and results in this World Cup to come. I've got to say, I've been loving the World Cup. I really do. I was a bit sceptical at the beginning, thinking, oh, it's got to be a drag, it's got to be boring, some of these games. I think the games are brilliant. I think the World Cup's been absolutely sensational so far.
It's incredible how long there is to go of the group stages, because some of the teams playing last night, it was only their first match. They hadn't played yet, so that's only really the first round of fixtures of the three group games gone, so a lot more drama to come.
Yeah, it seems. Is this the longest they've had in between games? Has it always been?
It's just because there's more teams.
I think that, to be honest with you, I think that the conditions there, as we spoke about previously, it's good for the players to get that big break in between the games. 5 days is ample time to recover, recuperate, and then get, you know, planning for the next game. So it's good to see that, you know, you're giving the players the chance to rest, and then so that when they step on the pitch, that they're fully, you know, fully ready to go.
Well, we mentioned Steve Clarke had been speaking not too long ago. Here are his thoughts on the game tomorrow.
Now they want to do the next step, which is to get what we need out of the next two games to make a little bit of history for Scotland. So the mood's good. Obviously, after the game, the first couple of days is just about fatigue and recover. Today, they got the spark about them. The training was electric, and yeah, we feel good. Against difficult opponents, like I said before, we have to be very good. We understand, but sometimes the Scottish psyche, the Scottish mentality is that we're a little bit more comfortable when we're the underdogs. We were the favourites against Haiti, and we found the game a struggle, but we managed to win. This time we're the underdogs, and sometimes Scotland prefer it that way.
Robbie is in Falkirk. Robbie, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad, Andrew. I just want to just say, I've heard John Spencer, just before I get to my point, I've heard John Spencer speaking a couple of times. I think he's a really good pundit. I heard you on that SN Sports where the Rangers fan, Scott Bradley.
Yeah.
John, you sound great, mate. Good
Thank
pundit,
you,
mate.
Appreciate it.
I'm taking to you right away, mate.
That's because you're from Falkirk, right?
I just want to say, I picked up on another podcast, Andrew, is that Steve Clark was having a one-to-one which looked like as he was giving tactical instructions to Kieran Tierney. Now, I actually was watching Sky Sports News this morning, and you know you get how you get the footage in the background when a reporter, like, say, for example, Gordon Duncan, is speaking, and you get the training footage in the background. And just funnily enough, it was actually Steve Clark on that one-to-one with Kieran Tierney, on a one-to-one with the training going on round about him, like, and it looked as if he was giving tactical instructions. So, just my hunch, I think he's going to go with the 3-5-2 just to tighten up a wee bit. When we're sitting deep, we'll have the five. And I like the flexibility that's at the 3-5-2 anyway. I don't know what John and Gordon Dale think. But when you're pinned in with a 3-5-2, you're really defensive. And actually, when you're attacking, as long as you're you've got really, really good legs in your wing-backs, but you're pushing for it. You've only got four for it, so it's quite flexible. In between then, you've got the three centre midfielders. What do you guys think of that 3-5-2 in general? Not just for this game coming up, maybe Morocco. And do you think you'll go with that system? What do you think, guys?
Robbie's doing the spy gate, isn't he? He could get us thrown out of the tournament. I totally agree with Robbie. I'm not going to be surprised if he goes by a back three tomorrow. And he brings in Tierney or McKenna for the balance. Robbie seems to think because Clark, he's been caught talking to Tierney that it could be him. And rightly so, I think Tierney's had a very, very good season with Celtic. And plus the fact, I think he can play left centre-back position, no problem whatsoever. I think he's good at coming out with the ball. That partnership with Robertson, the left-hand side, has served as well as in the past. And obviously the striker up front and flood the midfield two wing backs. The one thing I liked about Steve Clark at the beginning was the squad he picked, because we can sit here and sort of a debate up until tomorrow night to we see the team, because he's got so many options. He can go 4-2-3-1, he can go 4-4-2, he can go 3-5-2, he can, you know what I mean? He can go 3-5 with one off the striker. He's got players there now that can play nearly every system that he needs is required. And I think that's why he's got a very good squad.
And it has been something deliberate from Steve Clark, because at the start of his reign, Scotland were maybe a bit more one-dimensional. You kind of knew exactly what team, what formation he was going to play. But over the years, he's made Scotland a lot more adaptable, to the point where I think a lot of supporters will be comfortable, whether it is a back four or a back three tomorrow, because they've seen successful Scotland performances with both.
Yeah, well, personnel gives you that flexibility, right? When the players are putting on the pitch and they produce, and you know they can be flexible in their positions and the formations that you're setting up, it gives you that confidence. But going back to what you're saying about the two strikers, you don't need to play the two strikers. You can play 1-9 and then have McTominay dropping deep when we don't have the ball and just flooding the midfield area. Then when we do knock it long, McTominay certainly has got the athletic ability. We've seen it with Napoli in the last couple of years. You know, he's running from box to box and finishing. So for me personally, I don't think you need to go with a Lyndon Dykes and Che Adams or Shanklin or whoever it is. I would actually just play my number 10. I'd play one number 9 and then play McTominay as that deep lying striker, and then when we get the ball, then he can go and unleash and get up front with him. But as I said to you, I think we've got the players that are playing at the highest level of world football, Champions League, etc., Premier League. So we don't need to be very, very fearful, but I think you need to be very smart. We don't need to get 3 points tomorrow. We just need to get the 1 point, and that's what I think will be in Clarkie's mind.
The one thing that the 3-5-2 or 3-5-1-1 doesn't really lend itself to is a Ben Gannon-Doak.
Yeah.
He's not going to play as a wing-back.
No.
He is not at his best, you'd think, when he's playing through the middle. If he's, you know, as a supporting striker, he's best when he's out on that right side and he's squaring up his man. So if it was to be, you know, a 3-5-2, would you just expect that Ben Gannon-Doak has to be kind of sacrificed for that?
I would, and I think it's a little bit unfortunate, because he's the one ball carrier for me. He can take you up the park. He's not afraid to go and run at defenders. So if he does switch to that 3-5-2 or whatever, you know, one off the striker, I think that Ben Gannon-Doak will be sacrificed. And I liked the way that his interview the other night there, and he said, look, at the end of the day, I want to play football, I love playing football, and you can just see that in the boy. But he says, I'm here to, you know, do my best for Scotland, and if that's coming off the bench and being an impact player, I'm prepared to do that. And that's what I love about this camp. They're all in it, they're all there. The training's electric this morning for one reason only. Everybody wants to play in these two games. You want to catch the eye. You want to make sure you're standing there as part of that 11 when the game kicks off tomorrow.
And if he doesn't start, at least it's a, you know, an exciting option to come off the bench. Maybe there are some more tired Morocco legs there. The fact that, you know, the temperature, they've played already, the games are quite concertina. If you're able to bring on someone that could just get the ball, run at players, Finlay Curtis also capable of doing it, those are the types of players that can maybe change a game coming on in the 65th minute, 70th minute.
Yeah, 100%. Everybody's got a part to play, as Gordon's just said. The thing for me is, you look at, you know, Ganado, electrifying pace, but Morocco's right back and left back are brilliant. They're brilliant defenders. We all know about Hakimi. Mazraoui, who was at Manchester United, probably hasn't had a great time there, but when these guys play for their national teams, they seem to, you know, put on Superman suits and become just different beasts completely. So it'll be very, very difficult to get anything out of them from the start of the game. But as you say, as the game progresses, then you're bringing in legs, you're bringing in energy. And as I say, we can sit and see how the game's unfolding. If we need to change and need to go chasing, then you can make them substitutions. But Morocco need to do the chasing tomorrow for 3 points.
Thank you to Robbie. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You had the chance to make your debut last week, but the coin toss went in your favour. It was Gordon DL that played instead. You had a front row seat to see how he got on. So it could be a debut for you tonight. How are you feeling about that?
I can honestly tell you, Andrew, I'm not feeling very confident. I'm not a historian at all. As I say to you, I try and live in the present and pray for the future.
Topical questions in there.
As I say, I'm cancelling my contract. I ain't coming back if I get picked to do this tonight.
Well, if that's that should be motivation to call in, because he's not sounding up for it at all. It's a 50-50 chance. Could be John Spencer, could be Gordon DL, could be you. 0141 951 1025. Get your call in before 7 o'clock for Beat the Pundit.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Another hour of your calls to come on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and John Spencer here with me, Andrew McLean. We've been looking ahead to Scotland against Morocco tomorrow. So if you want to chat about that, get in touch. Or a few domestic issues to chat about. A new Rangers manager last night in Derek McInnes. A new Motherwell manager today in Alfred Johansson. Maybe you want to talk about the fact that the Premiership fixtures were released today. 0141 951 1025. We're going to play this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I just saw you gesturing there, Gordon, that you're convinced it's going to be you.
Yeah, always is.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially
you. Do play, I mean, you're on quite a lot, but you do play
I play most nights. Every time red comes from you, Gordon Duncan's got it down to a T. He knows how many flicks to get to red to put me on. So you'll be okay, mate. Don't worry about it.
You're the professional, mate. I'm just here as a backup.
Oh. We'll see. It's going to be Rob in Drumchapel that's going to play. Rob, have you played before?
I played a wee while ago, yeah.
Who did you face?
Gary Caldwell it was, so it's a wee bit easy.
You played Gary Caldwell?
I know who he is.
Yeah, that was years ago, was it not?
I reckon it was maybe about five years ago or so.
Yeah,
I would suggest. Who would you rather face out of Gordon DL or John Spencer?
Both different challenges, obviously, but I think wee Spenny, he's a wee bit of a terrier, wouldn't he? I wouldn't mind a wee challenge against him.
That's it. It's the unknown with John Spencer.
He's playing himself. A few things in my life, but never a terrier.
That's it. You're playing yourself down, though. I think that's a smart tactic.
I've known this guy for a long time. I've been out cycling with him and everything. I know his personality. I have never seen him so nervous if that goes to blue in all my life. He's dreading that.
I'm dreading that, to be honest with you. As I say, I'm not a historian, but I'll give it my best, mate.
Right, it'll be the blue side of the coin for John Spencer. It'll be the red side of the coin for Gordon DL. And it is the blue side of the coin for John Spencer. So it is going to be a debut.
Oh, here we go.
So we will put something else in the ear of John so he can't hear us for the next 30 seconds. For you, Rob, it will be 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
All good, mate, yep.
Let's go for it. From which club did Celtic sign Greg Taylor?
Tomorrow.
Who was the last Rangers manager Derek McInnes played under?
Walter Smith.
Morocco reached what round of the 2022 World Cup?
Quarterfinals.
The first Old Firm game of the upcoming season will take place in what month?
September.
How many clubs has Ben Gannon-Doak played for?
Three.
In what year did South Korea and Japan host the World Cup?
2008.
Right, we will bring John Spencer back in. Can you hear us, John?
Not at all.
They're easy.
Right.
Listen, that's a full house for me. They're easy.
Drink, you got all of them?
I got everyone.
Gordon, bear in mind, Gordon's out at quiz shows every night.
And he's a compulsive liar as well, yeah. So he might just be talking
what,
nonsense.
I'll tell you what, I'll play rather than John.
No. No, John's playing.
No, I'll play.
Right, okay. 30 okay. seconds don't on the clock on, for John Spencer. Let's go. From which club did Celtic sign Greg Taylor?
Kilmarnock.
Who was the last Rangers manager Derek McInnes played under?
Walter.
Morocco reached what round of the 2022 World Cup?
Semis.
The first Old Firm game of the upcoming season will take place in what month?
September.
How many clubs has Ben Gannon-Doak played for?
Celtic, Liverpool, Bournemouth, three.
In what year did South Korea and Japan host the World Cup?
2006.
Which company sponsored the SPFL before William Hill?
No idea.
Done well, Spenny. Done well.
Right. How do you think it went, Rob?
Another one. He played with others over there.
I think he done me on. He's done me by one.
Right. We'll go through them and see. A nice easy one to start off with. From which club did Celtic sign Greg Taylor? You both said Kilmarnock. You both got it right. Greg Taylor made his Beat the Pundit debut earlier on this week. It was a 5-5 loss and a tiebreaker. It's 1-1 after one question between Rob and John. Who was the last Rangers manager Derek McInnes played under? You both said Walter Smith, which is wrong.
Alan McLeish.
It's Dick Advocaat.
Was it?
Yeah, Dick Advocaat. Oh, right, he was right. Signed by Walter Smith, but left under Dick Advocaat. So it is still 1-1. Morocco reached what round of the 2022 World Cup? Rob said quarterfinal. John was about to say quarterfinal, but said semi-final, which is the correct answer. 2-1 to John Spencer. The first Old Firm game of the upcoming season will take place in what month? You both said September. You both got it right. It is the 20th of September. At Celtic Park, so 3-2 to John. How many clubs has Ben Gannon-Doak played for? You both said three.
Four.
But it is four. I actually heard you say it just after the time was up. He did also play on loan at Middlesbrough, which is probably the one people would forget about. Of course, Celtic, Liverpool and Bournemouth are the others. So it remains 3-2. In what year did South Korea and Japan host the World Cup? I thought at least one of you would have got this. 2002? No. Rob didn't get it either, so it remains 3-2 to John Spencer, and Rob didn't get any more questions in. Which company sponsored the SPFL before William Hill? You didn't even need to answer it. You didn't try to. Cinch was the answer to that question. So it is a 3-2 win for John Spencer on his Beat the Pundit debut.
100% correct, mate.
Yeah, appreciate that. No, really? Only 100%, but...
I'll take the
100%
win rate.
Take the 3 points.
100% win rate. Oh, that's you. All you have to worry about. They do it in percentages. You're up there on the table.
There we go. One win from one. You were downplaying yourself. Was that intentional or were you genuinely not?
No, I think the questions were a wee bit easy to go.
I'd like to hear you say it again.
It's a results driven business, so I got the result.
Where did Morocco get to in the last World Cup? What?
The semis, right?
The semis.
Oh, that's it. That's the American. That's living over in America.
Semi.
The semis.
The semi.
The semi-finals.
The semi-finals.
Rob,
you got it.
Yeah. Rob, on the line, what's been occupying your mind over the last few weeks? Is it Scotland? Is it club football?
I'm a Rangers fan, so it's been Scotland.
I thought you were going to say it's been Rangers, but you've been pleased with how the World Cup has gone so far?
Aye, I think it's been, in terms of the games and all that, I'm not too happy about the hydration breaks. I think that takes a wee bit away from the intensity of the games. But in terms of the football and everything else, I think it's actually been quite surprisingly good.
There have been quite a few new features of this World Cup. What do you think of the hydration breaks?
Well, I played 4 years in Major League Soccer, coached in Major League Soccer, and we played 90-minute 245s like they do everywhere. I think you'll find the hydration breaks are probably for commercials.
Oh yeah, because I think in North America they cut straight to adverts, whereas in Europe you actually see the hydration breaks. So I think
have a look at Liverpool. Where am I getting Liverpool from? Have a look at England game last night. The roof, it was it was cool in there and they're having a break. And obviously the reason why is because they're keeping everything the same, because that's the rule. Look, you can argue with the hydration breaks or whatever. It can work for you and work against you, of course.
It seemed to work for Scotland in the first game, because 100%. You know, Haiti started coming into the game a bit more. There was the hydration break. Steve Clark got his point across, and then all of a sudden Scotland were a goal up. So it's about, you know, they're there. You have to do them. So it's about trying to do as best as you can.
You've got to accept it. You've just got to go on with it. As I say, it can work for you, it can work against you. I've got to say, I was a bit sceptical at the beginning about all the changes. I'm liking the changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really am. I think it's making the game go quicker. I think it's more entertaining. I think the rule changes are very positive for me. So long may it continue. As I say, you're getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're watching games that you wouldn't even watch at 7 o'clock in night if there was nothing on the telly.
Were you watching Uzbekistan, Colombia in the middle of the night last night? You didn't go that far?
No, I got to Ghana at 2 o'clock. But I'm watching, I'll be watching Canada tonight. I think they're 11 o'clock.
Yeah, they're the 11 game.
Yeah, so, and that's what I'm saying, Andrew. There's absolutely no chance in this world I'd even dream of watching Canada, right? I'm not interested in Canada. It's a World Cup. As a guy that, and I love the fact that the crowds and everything about it, the stature of the tournament. We grew up watching the World Cup. It was a highlight of your life as a young guy, and that's why the games now, I think, are very good and entertaining.
Thank you to Rob. Let's speak to Ian, who's in Orlando. Ian, I'm sure you've got a good story for us then, if you're in Orlando.
Yes, it's 90 degrees and probably 90% humidity apart from that. But no, it's summertime here in Orlando. But I have tickets for the game on Wednesday down in Miami. And it's part of one of the Irish bars here in Orlando. There's 10 coach loads going down to the game. I got my brother coming over tomorrow so he can go to the game. And this will be our third World Cup. We were there in 66 in England. And down in Bordeaux for the second one, and this will be my third World Cup, so I'm very excited.
Brilliant. First of all, I know that Ian's on board with you. He's saying semi-final. I could just tell from what Ian's saying there. But Ian, are you based over in America?
Yes. I've been here since 74.
So what was that like when you knew the World Cup, first of all, was going to be in America, but then seeing Scotland qualify, knowing that it was going to be games over there, a game happening in Miami?
Well, you should see our house is all covered in bunting and the flags, and we've got T-shirts made and all sorts of things. So, yeah, no, we're very excited.
Has there been a lot of...
It's a big deal over here, too, the fact that, you know, it's here in America. So, and you can see how the Tartan Army are doing up in Boston. I mean, they're just having a ball. I wish it was up there, too.
Yeah, but you can't wait for them all to make their way down, and you can share that time with them in Miami.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the owner of the pub, the lady owner, is a Scots person, but her husband is a Brazilian. So I'm sure these buses or these coaches will be full of Brazilian fans as well as Scots fans. So that'll be an interesting dilemma. And it's normally about a 4-hour drive, so it'll be a fun time.
That's the thing. The one thing that's been proven with the Scotland fans, sort of anywhere they go, but especially in Boston, that there have been supporters of other countries that have been in the city. Some have already been and gone, just depending on what games are taking place in the city at the time. And they've just been getting on a house on fire with everyone. It doesn't matter what country they're supporting. There was the guy that I think Gabriel spoke to, who is part of, you know, the Norwegian support, who has basically spent some time in Germany with the Tartan Army. Then Norway were also playing in Boston. So he ended up paying, what was it, $1,200 to get a ticket to go to the Scotland-Haiti game, just because he's so engrossed in Scotland now. So it's sort of bringing cultures together. And it's, as we said before, it's just showing Scotland off in a great light, because Scotland fans just seem to be getting on with everyone and anyone.
Oh, they've been absolutely sensational. I think everybody would agree with that, Andrew. They've made so many friends. They've made that World Cup over there. That's a talking point. Everybody's talking about, as much as the football, they're talking about the Scotland Tartan Army. And I've got to say, I am really jealous of Ian, because he's right. The Brazilians take big, big support. They love to party. Scotland certainly love to party. Miami is going to be absolutely rocking. Imagine being there. It would be the best experience you would ever have in your life. And then on top of that, Ian's got a ticket to walk in and watch Scotland, Brazil.
What should the Scotland fans be expecting from Florida, Ian?
It's going to be crazy, just as you said, because of the mixed races down there. And there's so many Brazilians, there's so many South Americans in general in the Miami area. It's going to be just electric. And as far as the price goes for the tickets, that guy got a bargain. I had to pay $1,800 each for two tickets, or for each ticket, I should say.
$1,800?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I can boogie.
And I would have paid more. I would have paid more.
Would you?
Believe me.
Is that an official website that's charging them, or is that...
I think there's a lot of reselling going on.
It's a resale.
But I think it's a sort of FIFA official resale at times that people can list them for whatever, but, you know, the demand is there. People are paying the money, whether you like it or not. And
well,
I know
that's
a lot of people
NFL
don't like
prices,
it, yeah.
For sure. You know, you buy a ticket to the NFL any given Sunday and it's $300-$400 to get in. Season tickets are very expensive, but it's as I say, it's been an unbelievable World Cup at the moment, so long may it continue.
But Ian's not alone. Ian's got a ticket there at $1,800. I'll guarantee if he walked down there and didn't want to get into a game and sell it, he'd make a massive profit on it, because everybody is just wanting that stadium. That stadium's got to be electrifying, as it was against Haiti, as it is going to be tomorrow night against Morocco. But Miami, for me, because it's Brazil, I just think that will be something special. That will top everything.
Ian, you talked about the years that you've followed Scotland. This is your third World Cup. Do you think this could be the pinnacle of you being a Scotland fan this next week
for
or so?
Sure. I've never seen it. Yeah, I mean, we had high hopes down in France, but no, this is the big one for sure. For sure. And they're playing so well, too. They're playing so well. Just back on the tickets, the face value on the ticket was $455. So it shows you what kind of markup is going on, you know?
Yeah, how good would it be that, you know, going to Miami, like Ian's going with his brother and everything, and you're going to enjoy the game, and we've qualified, we got a result tomorrow night.
If you get the result in the bag, and then it's just everyone can relax going into the final game.
Can you imagine Brazil's going to win tomorrow night as well, comfortably? So you would, the atmosphere would be incredible, wouldn't it? No pressure whatsoever. You've qualified. You're playing Brazil in Miami.
That's a once in a lifetime situation for us, isn't it? Fingers crossed.
I just don't even know if Scotland fans would know what to do with themselves. Like, it would be uncharted territory going into the final game of a World Cup group and knowing that the result doesn't actually matter. Yes, you know, you could finish first, second or third, but if you were already guaranteed to go through, it would just be such a strange feeling going into the game. It would be a nice bit of freedom.
Wouldn't be a strange feeling, but an absolutely brilliant feeling. That's what you've got to say. Brilliant to go there, but we've a job to do tomorrow night, and if we don't do it, then we've got to go to Miami, where it's got to be electrifying, and we've got to do the job there. And I'm confident out the two games, for the first time, I think we'll qualify.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Ian. Sounds like a great plan. I hope you enjoy the next week or so, or maybe more than that, depending on how results go. Remember, there's still time for you to get your calls in and be entered into the draw to win a pair of tickets for Scotland's Fan Zone at Brayhead Arena in Glasgow for Wednesday, the 24th of June. You and a friend could be watching the Scotland against Brazil game with a £50 food and drink voucher. If your point gets on air, you'll be in the draw to get some tickets tonight, and we'll draw the winner before 8 o'clock. So give us a call now, 0141 951 1.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and John Spencer taking your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, 0141 951 1025. We are here until 8 o'clock, and then we'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. The night shift for the big game, Scotland against Morocco. We will be live from Brayhead Arena, so make sure to tune in. We'll give you all the build-up, we'll give you all the action as it happens, and the reaction afterwards, to which hopefully Scotland will get a result that will see us make history. Let's speak to Simon, who is in Hindland. Simon, how's your World Cup experience been so far?
Hi guys, how you all doing? Hope you're well. It's been insane. Just got back from Boston a couple of days ago. It's been a proper life-affirming stuff, to be honest with you. bank balance doesn't agree. I had to turn my notifications for the bank app off after the first night because it was stressing me out too much. So decided to check when I landed, got on the plane on the way home. So it's not so good in that aspect. But yeah, proper incredible stuff. And we originally planned meant to be staying in Providence because it was a bit cheaper. But last minute managed to get a deal through my work for a hotel in Boston, and I'm glad we did because the party was there and you know that was the fun bit. So yeah, you probably hear my voice. I'm a bit croaky for the last few days, but it's just been sensational, and I can't wait for the rest of the games now.
I was going to say, how tough was it to actually go and get the flight home, but probably made easier by looking at your bank account?
Aye, absolutely. And the fact I'd lose my job if I'd stayed, so needed to get back at some point. Potentially there's scope for going back out if we get through to the next round, and we'll see what happens. But I'm confident going into the game tomorrow. I actually think we'll get the point that we need. I think the result today, the early kickoff's a good one for us. You can't see either of those two teams winning their final games, so that should hopefully tick another group off in case we don't, you know, a bit of insurance. But just absolutely buzzing, to be honest, about tomorrow. I think just really looking forward to it.
Simon, what's your thoughts? Do you think you'll change formation and team, and what's your thoughts on that? Obviously you were out there.
I think it'll be a slight tweak to the formation. There's a bit of me that thinks you might go back to the three, and then the other bit of me thinks saying you're losing Ben Gannon-Doak, who I think was our best player for me. You probably need that attacking threat. For me, I think a slight tweak to the formation, you'll bring McKenna back in, I think. And for me, drops Shankland, puts Christian deep in midfield with Ferguson, and pushes McTominay up to support Shea Adams. I'd also be maybe thinking about putting Ben Gannon-Doak on the left, mainly to just try and keep Hakimi a bit more, you know, occupied. I think if he's got that pace and he's a bit worried about that, you know, that could hopefully limit. He's obviously by far the best player. And if John McGinn's there, he's not going to be too worried about catching up with him. So, I think maybe that could be the only tweak. But
And who are you leaving out for McKenna coming in?
Unfortunately, I think Hanley. I don't think he can play three games in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with his performance, because I thought he was excellent. But yeah, I think it's probably too much to ask him to play those three games, and there's a bit of me that thinks we might go to the three for the Brazil game, but this is the one where I think we'll stick to our formation almost the way it was on Saturday, but a slight tweak would just move McTominay, because I feel as good as McTominay is and he can play that central midfield role, I think we lost a bit of something with him playing deeper and having a bit more work to do. And he's best for me when he's, you know, he's kind of anticipating playing off the striker and making those late runs into the box. I think that's where he's at his best, and we can hopefully get that on there. Hopefully get that tomorrow night.
It is one thing that Steve Clark will need to think about, because there are players on that squad that maybe haven't played a lot of football going into the tournament. The games are so close together. There's the heat to contend with, that as much as everyone would like to just pick the best 11 every single game, there may be players that aren't capable of playing, you know, three games in such a short period of time. You look at, you know, Aaron Hickey hasn't played a lot of football recently. Ben Gannon-Doak hasn't played a lot of football. As Simon said, Grant Hanley hasn't played a lot of football. So it's something else for Steve Clark to consider, rather than just, you know, tactically how it works.
I think if you look at Ben Gannon-Doak's interview the other day, he spoke about when they substituted him out, they says, "What did you think?" He goes, "My calves had left the stadium," something along them lines or them words. My only problem that Simon mentioned in putting him on Hakimi's side, I think, to be honest with you, Hakimi absolutely runs the legs off him. I think if he was struggling the other night against Haiti, we're getting most of the ball and attacking, just that fullback, Hakimi destroys most wingers in world football with his running ability. I'm not so sure I would play him that side, to be honest with you.
Because Morocco have a lot of very good players, but he is one in that team that you say is genuinely world class.
He's a superstar.
He's possibly the best in his position in the world, if not, you know, top three. Mm-hmm. So he is someone that, despite the fact he's a right back, can cause real problems no matter where he's positioned on the pitch.
I think if you look at the back at the goal that Morocco scored against Brazil, and they spoke about Gabriel, the centre back for Arsenal, when what's the left back's name? Masarawi.
Masarawi,
he wins
yeah.
it and he fizzes a 30-yard ball into Brahim Diaz. Brahim Diaz takes the touch and Gabriel automatically thinks that Hakimi's, and he does take off and he actually turns his shoulder to the opposite side, and what the Brahim Diaz does is he uses the eyes and he then plays a 40-yard pass through the middle, 2-on-1, and the striker bombs through and has an unbelievable finish. So for me, I cannot see any benefit of playing our like best attacking player on their best attacking player side, which is Hakimi. He's unbelievable, mate.
Do you see that side of it, Simon?
Yeah, it's a good point. I just feel like it may give him a little bit more to think about, but like you say, he's unbelievably athletic. So I think it's going to be it's going to be a tough game. I think the we're watching a bit of the Morocco game. I watched it, end up watching it back in the hotel after fully, but it was I think that, you know, Morocco started really well. Brazil kind of got back into it. I think the second half was kind of just even between the two of them. To be honest, I think we can get the point. I think we'll be better when we're underdogs. I think we'll have more, you know, more enthusiasm in that way. We're confident. We've done it a million times going into these games where no one expects anything from us, whereas the pressure was all on us on Saturday to, you know, be the team in the ascendancy, which Scotland often struggle with. But yeah, it's just looking forward to it. I actually get nothing to do for the two games because I was so focused on America, I forgot to book and plan anything for kind of home and everywhere's fully booked. So it's going to be try to find something for a local pub or something to watch the games in. But yeah, I'll be able to brag about Boston and show off those pictures. And yeah, it'll be memories that live in my lifetime. You know, I was eight or nine. Yeah, they've just done nine when the last World Cup was in 98. So vague memories of it. And to be able to go out there, you know, my partner and my friends and you know, have that experience and just, you know, the national anthem, I was sobbing. I was actually sobbing my heart out when the national anthem was on. It was a incredible moment. And yeah, I just can't wait to, and what did you say as well, the video I saw of the guy today, he is put it super sober, like you put it yesterday or today, you know, the guy, you know, breaking down, talking about his friend who passed away. That's what it means to everyone. And it was just, you know, I wanted to reach through the phone and give the guy a hug. So hopefully he's doing all right and enjoys tomorrow night, because yeah, those are the games that just mean so much to all of us.
Just quickly, Simon, you might be lucky because you're in the draw for this big prize to come to Brayhead tomorrow night. We have a couple of quid as well to help you.
For Wednesday night, for the Brazil game.
Wednesday night to help you with a couple of quid.
Well, I definitely need a couple of quid, Dazzler, for that
day. Don't worry about it. If you win the prize, then come along, you get a few beers.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Simon in Hindland. What about Simon and East Kilbride, who is a Rangers fan? We got the news last night, 7:30, Simon, that Derek McInnes officially the new Rangers manager. Are you pleased with that?
I am delighted with that, aye. I think it was only kind of natural choice.
It certainly seems. I know there was talk of there being, you know, shortlists and other names in it. It's my understanding there wasn't a shortlist. Rangers wanted one man. They wanted Derek McInnes. They didn't interview anyone else, and it was as straightforward as that. So, I mean, it's got to be a compliment to Derek McInnes that knowing that he's got the job and Rangers weren't considering anyone else. Simon says it was a straightforward choice. It seems the club thought the same.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it. I think if you rewind the whole situation back, I remember asking you this question last week when we were on here. How did Rangers fall off the face of the earth come the split? And they had a trip to Spain. There must have been, in my opinion and in my experience of football, there must have been a rumour going about the camp that the players knew that Danny Rowe was trying to get out of the club.
There has to be.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because I seen them playing the last game before the split against Falkirk, and I thought they were unbelievable on the day, second half. Were incredible, and they came back and it was like Jekyll and Hyde. I looked at that team and I'm going, how is this team getting beat, losing games every single week, four in a row, whatever it was, four at the last five. I just think that Danny Rowe, for whatever reason, the last couple of months of the season, didn't look like he wanted to be there. And looking in hindsight now, I think what's transpired over the last couple of weeks, he's been trying to get himself out.
What are you hoping Derek McInnes brings to Rangers, Simon?
I think something that they kind of lacked, and especially in the last kind of five games, is leadership. I hope maybe he's going to go in there and tell players how it is to play for Rangers, and you know what the expectations really are.
I mean, it's something that Danny Rowe highlighted quite a bit towards the end of the season. He said that he maybe didn't feel there was enough leaders in the group. He said going into the summer window that he was going to target leaders. The first signing that Rangers made was Lauren Shankland, who's the Hearts captain, who has been a leader in his career. as Simon says, Dennett McInnes can go in, he can tell players, you know, what it means to play for Rangers, but, you know, can you turn players into leaders, or is it a case of, is Dennett McInnes still having to go into that group, do you feel, and add leaders to the
no,
group?
He's got to be a man manager, and of course you have, because it's a long season, a lot of games, and situations pop up that you've got to handle. And I think Derek, with his experience, look, it wasn't that long ago Derek was in the Championship with Kilmarnock, you know, and he's worked his way back into Premier League with Kilmarnock. Hearts gave him the opportunity and he's been absolutely brilliant. You're right, there was only one choice, because I'll tell you why. I think that the owners who looked at their last two appointments know, hold on a minute, we've not really got this right. Russell Martin, certainly, the Rangers fans will tell you, definitely not got it right. I think they were a little bit lucky, because they were going to back Daniel, let's not be kidded here, they were going to back him in the summer. So they were a wee bit lucky, fortunate, that it landed on their doorstep that he was getting out the club. And I think they sort of went, okay, that's brilliant. And right away they went for a guy who knows the Scottish League, had a brilliant season last year with Hearts. His recruitment's good, as much as, you know, you look at all the stats and everything. He went and got guys like Finlay and all that. He kept Shanklin. He talked him into staying. So he obviously had something about him, Derek. And I think that's what Rangers were looking for. I know the guy was on the Tuesday night talking about, oh, we didn't fancy Derek McInnes because he went, we need a leader for Europe. I think you need a leader for your bread and butter at the beginning and then build through. Rangers have been, you know, second best, third best for years now. So they need somebody to come in, stabilise the club, get players in, get formation, get a style of football and start letting Rangers supporters go and enjoy their football. And I think Derek can do that.
What are the priority areas for Dennett McInnes in this transfer window, Simon?
For me, this kind of a hard question, because you look at, like, they've been constantly linked with the players from Hearts. So I think we should probably look at maybe the central defence area since Steger's left. I don't really trust John Souter. And also we've been kind of linked with Braga as well. But with that, then who's going to make way for him? Would you need to try and either sell a striker, because we've now got four of them at the club with Danilo coming back, or we'd need to put out Finlay Curtis again, which I don't think would be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Claudio Braga links have more just been people putting two and two together rather than there being any proper substance to it at the moment. But, you know, could you see Dennett McInnes going back to Hearts, potentially taking anyone else? I think I said this last night that maybe the most obvious choice would be Cammy Devlin, because he's out of contract, was successful last season, but you think Lauren Shanklin does it for them?
Yeah, I feel sorry for Hearts. You know, they finished the season, okay, not in a high, but the effort and the commitment they put in, the fans were brilliant, but they missed out in the last day, and then all of a sudden you lose your captain, your top goal scorer, your best goal scorer in the club, then you lose your manager. Yeah. So I don't think Derek's got to get in there and raid Hearts, because I think Derek will have other options to go and pick and choose, and I think he'll be well backed. I don't know.
Would Hearts allow probably their best player from last year, offensive player, to leave? I'm not so sure, unless it was a big, big fee. And I'd like to think that Derek might be shopping in a better, bigger market. I just can't see it. For me, if it was Hearts, you know, you've took your captain, you've took the manager, I think Hearts, if it was me personally, I'd be closing the door on them. I wouldn't allow them to take any more of our players, no.
I know. It is tough for Hearts as well, who now have to not only replace their captain and top goal scorer, their talisman, but now need to replace their manager. So it'll be interesting to see what route they go down.
Listen, that's what happened. You look at, for instance, Motherwell, I think everybody was saddened when Jens left, because the football entertainment, everything that Motherwell gave was brilliant. We've brought in a 35-year-old. Interesting to see what he's got to do. What I've heard good reports. Look, he's not that great experienced, but he's worked with youth teams in Copenhagen, under 17s and 19s. He then took over a manager at Rosenborg. He got a 3-year deal, and then he got at 32 years of age. So it shows you at that young age that people see something in him. And Motherwell have been very fortunate to get him. And I think Motherwell have done a good bit of business here. I'd be very surprised if he didn't just keep everything, try to tick along the same style of football and everything with it. But listen, you go back to Hearts, that's what happens when you're successful, you know you've got to lose players. When you know that the manager's successful and a big job comes up, you know they're going to be...
I was surprised.
You look at Falkirk, right? Barney Stewart, for instance. He's came for university football. He comes on, he makes an impact. He's now away to West Brom. So you know that's
for a club
happened.
Record fee.
Exactly.
Too,
you know
bit
that's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I watched the two boys play, and obviously my connection at Falkirk, I've seen young Barnley coming back for Dunfermline. The loan to Dunfermline kind of matured him a wee bit, gave him a wee bit more belief, self-confidence, and came back in, hit a real purple patch and finished the season really well. Obviously, they took Calvin Miller to heart, so he'll be a great addition to their team. Very dynamic, you know, direct, gets good service in the box. But to going back to the heart situation, like, I was very surprised they allowed Derek to leave so easily.
Yeah.
It didn't seem that they put up much of a fight. So that lets you then look at it and say, well, what do they have planned for the future? You know, do they have with the Jamestown analytics, do they have someone or two or three managers that they can come in and place into that system and feel that they'll kind
it's
of
funny,
go
it's
positive
funny that
from
just
there.
Quickly, I'd done a podcast with Stephen Mill on Monday, and Stephen had the idea that was always going to be their plan. You know, they would bring Derek in the first couple of seasons, but then they're going to aim because that's what traditionally what they do, and they've done it at Brighton as well. You're saying
there. But then I think when you look at Union Saint-Gilloise, they have, over the last few years, they've had managers that are either Belgian or have experience in Belgian football, so they've maybe done it slightly differently with USG than they had at Brighton. But I know there was that train of thought from some people that they thought that, you know, was Derek McInnes going to be the long-term
Fit. As John said there, he wonders why Hearts never put up a fight. We don't know what's in Derek McInnes's contract. That's the thing.
Assumingly Hearts didn't know what was in Shankland's contract
as well. Exactly. And when that's the case, then you've just got to put your hands up and say, look, people have came and raided it. So it's up to you now. And you say, look at Falkirk. Falkirk have lost two very, very good players, haven't they?
Dylan Tate also.
So all of a sudden... And that's what happens when you're a Falkirk, you're a Motherwell and Kilmarnock and these teams. Your best players just get plucked away from you. Maybe your manager gets taken away from you. You've just got to accept that and rebuild.
Thank you to Simon. Final chance to get your calls in next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final chance to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The final chance to give us your opinion on what Scotland should do tomorrow against Morocco, because we're back on air at 10 p.m. tomorrow. 1 hour build up to the big game. We'll be bringing you all the coverage live from Brayhead Arena, where there's a fan zone going on. So we'll get all the atmosphere, and then we'll do an hour of reaction afterwards. We had an hour of reaction after the Scotland-Haiti game, but that was between 4 and 5 in the morning. And you know what? I was genuinely quite impressed that there were people came on and actually made sense at that time in the morning.
So was I. In fact, I was quite impressed that we made sense at that time.
That's a good point,
morning.
Yeah.
But no, it was absolutely brilliant. Great venue. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I think it'll be the same. I think it'll be a great atmosphere.
Well, let's go back to the phones and let's speak to Abdellah, who is in Kelvin Bridge now. Abdellah is at the Goat in the Tree restaurant in Great Western Road. I think, are you the owner, Abdellah?
That's right, yes.
Which is a Moroccan restaurant in the west end of Glasgow, of course. The fact that Scotland are playing Morocco tomorrow, Abdellah, how excited are you for that?
Well, I'm very excited. I mean, it's going to be a fantastic game and tough game for both teams. I think it's going to be a really good game.
What are you doing for the game? What are the plans?
Well, the plans is we're going to watch it with my friends and family. And, you know, I think without fans, football is nothing. And it's fantastic to watch it tomorrow.
How exciting was it when you got the, you know, you looked at the draw, you saw it was going to be Scotland against Morocco. Was that exactly what you were looking for?
Well, listen, I mean, Scotland, they come really, really from far. I mean, they should be in the high at the moment. They won their first game. That gives them confidence. I think it's going to be a tough game for Morocco.
What did you think of Morocco's performance against Brazil? A lot of people very, very impressed about that. And do you feel that Morocco are going to be in a really good place going into the game?
I do believe Morocco... They have no fear at the moment. They play with freedom, and they play with I mean, it's nothing compared to last few years. At the moment, they know what the plans are, and they follow the instructions of the manager. I think we're in a good hand at the moment.
Yeah, you just need to look at Morocco's track record over the last few years, John, getting to the semi-finals of the last World Cup, getting to the final of AFCON, winning it. There was a lot that went on there. But, you know, a real quality team, some top players. You know, Abdellah's saying it's going to be a tough game for Morocco, but we heard Steve Clarke earlier on. He was really talking Morocco up. He knows the challenge that Scotland are in for tomorrow.
I think if you've watched any football over the last 12 months, 24 months, and you've seen Morocco play, you've got half a brain, you'll know that they're a good football team. And they've got weapons all over the pitch. They've got a young number six, plays in the middle of the patch, Abadoui, I think his name is. 18 years of age. Going to go for big money, possibly Real Madrid in the summer. This kid absolutely run the show against Brazil the other night. They couldn't get close to him. He dominated the game with the ball. And I tell you what, we need to make sure tomorrow night we've got somebody close to him every time he's in possession. Just he'll run the show.
Just on Morocco, John, and you know, I'm looking and thinking, I've never tasted Moroccan food. I just wonder if there's any place that would invite us.
You just knew that Gordon Dale was going to try and get some freebie out of this. Absolutely incredible. Abdellah, you're talking about, you know, plans to watch the game tomorrow. Is there quite a good Moroccan community in Glasgow? Are you expecting a, you know, a good atmosphere with you all watching the game tomorrow?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. We're all getting people together to watch the game. And then hopefully, you know, it's going to be a good atmosphere. It's going to be fantastic anyway. This is one of the best, you know, things happening in football, you know. It's just, you know, to get together and then watch the game and enjoy it. I mean, I mean, there is one thing I was going to say. I mean, Scotland, I mean, they've done fantastic. And Steve Clarke, I think he's doing a great job at the moment, you know.
How far do you think Morocco can get in the tournament? Because I was speaking to Gabriel, who our reporter who's over in Boston. He was speaking to quite a few Moroccan supporters the other day, and a lot of them are very confident that they feel Morocco can get to the quarterfinals, the semi-final, even as far as the final. Have you got those ambitions?
What I was going to say, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, Morocco, they come from far as well. I mean, they were semi-final on the last World Cup, and I think this time they're going to go even further. I do believe they will go to semi-finals, and then we don't know what can happen from that. I do have really, you know, a good confidence on them to be in the semi-finals. Because, look, I mean, there is a fantastic team around there. You can't say until you get to the semi-final, and then you would have, you know, a doubt who's going to win it. Anyone can win it at the moment, to be honest with you. That's how I see it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Abdellah. I hope you enjoy your night to some extent tomorrow. Not as much as a victory, but it's all right. We hope you beat Brazil. That's fine. But I hope you enjoy your night tomorrow. Thank you very much to Abdellah, who is the owner of Goat in the Tree in the west end of Glasgow. You tried your best there, Gordon.
Yeah, he didn't bite, did he?
No. Nah.
You hope they beat, not Brazil. They've already played Brazil.
Oh, sorry, I meant Haiti.
Haiti, yeah. Yeah, I know what you meant, but I'm very disappointed in him. I was waiting for him to just invite us down, John, you know.
You never know, mate. If they get a decent result against Brazil, I'm sorry, against Haiti.
If they might get to the final, I'm sure we'll get an invite.
Yeah.
But he's right. I think Morocco will be very confident they can go very deep into this tournament. They showed the last tournament, semi-finals. We've talked about their danger men. We've talked about how good a squad they are. But let's not be kidded here. We've got a good squad. We've got a good manager. We've got a great spirit. We're sitting top of the table. We've got everything to play for. And as John Spencer said earlier in the show, we've got the best 12 man that no other country's got. So let's look forward to tomorrow night.
Right, we're going to speak to Gordon at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. We're on air, but this is the final chance we've got to speak to you, John, before the game. Put your neck in the line, prediction. How's it going to go?
I'm hoping we get the point that's needed. If you're asking me as a Scotland fan, I hope we win 1-0 or 2-0. If you're asking me as a football person, it's going to be a very, very tough night for us. And I would gladly, gladly snap your hand off for a draw right now.
Yeah. Who's going to need to be at the top of our game for Scotland to get that? Is it going to be a big defensive
effort? Yeah, I think collectively, individually and collectively, I think we've got to be the best the best Scotland version that we can find. And I think that is going to be digging deep. This is where, like Stevie talked, Stevie doesn't usually talk like, you know, the way he does about the training sessions being electrifying, etc. So if we can work ourselves into the ground for that 90 minutes, I think we're capable of getting the point.
Well, thank you very much to Abdella. Thank you very much to you at home. Thank you to Gordon DL. Thank you to John Spencer. Remember, tomorrow we are back, not at the usual time, but 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. I'll be at the Brayhead Arena with Gordon DL, with Alex Ray. We'll be giving you all the build-up between 10 and 11 to the game, then kick off at 11 o'clock. You can listen along with us. You can go through all the emotions with us. Hopefully it is some goals for Scotland that we'll see celebrating. And then all the reaction after the game, hopefully it is all celebrations and we can enjoy it together and then go on to the Brazil game in Miami and see how that goes. David in Barrhead is the winner of the tickets for that Brazil game to the Brayhead Arena. So we'll see you there on Wednesday night. But once again, thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks for phoning in. Thanks for watching on the live stream, getting involved in social media. And it's Callum Gallagher that's taking things next.